All right, let's get to it right now. From The Athletic, the one, the only, our good friend, Samuel Amick. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Dave and Jay. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
We're good. I'm just sitting here, your inspiring story ideas. I think that the Athletic's maturity power rankings are going to be coming right around the corner.
You know, you were listening on hold, so that I got to think that rings true with you and pretty much anyone else. And, you know, the question was, do you like talking to De'Aaron or Boogie more? And it's a it's a different animal. But, Sam, like, I remember your visits with Kevin Durant. And you were like the Kevin Durant whisperer for like a full summer. And you could tell you had an in and a trust with him. And I got to think for you, too, as a journalist, a different type, a real journalist, but a print journalist, that when you can showcase those personalities that have been misconstrued either through the fault of the player, the fault of the fans and media, or both, I got to think that's a little extra special for you when you can pull that curtain back.
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with everything you said about DeMarcus. For me, that's an interesting one because, you know, both between you and I, our two experiences with him went in drastically different directions. But I always enjoyed your ability to get to some of those parts of his personality that otherwise kind of stayed in the shadows. You've had a good run of that. I mean, your stuff with Ron Artest back in the day where a guy who's pretty mercurial and tough to get to. But yeah, you enjoy just honesty and genuine conversations. And it's even more fulfilling, I guess, when it's people that, like you said, are pretty guarded.
I don't like you bringing up the Artest thing because then I remember your article when you called me fat.
He didn't call you
cushy
fat.
Poker players build.
Now, just to keep in mind, by the way, this article was like, what was it now? Like 13 years ago? And still, off the top of his head, cushy poker player build. That has stuck for over a decade.
Tyrese Halliburton born yet.
To be fair to Sam, the reason why it sticks out because, I mean, he just articulated your look very well.
The reason it sticks out is because you're – never mind.
Wow, dude. This just went to a dark road. You know, the funny thing about Boogie, too, is –
it's not even a dark road. He's doing his job as a journalist to paint the correct picture.
It's not. We talked about it earlier. He's an assault on my character. It's true, but, you know, the thing is – and I don't want to make it out like you and DeMarcus don't have a good and professional relationship, but once upon a time, you had the great relationship with him, and he hated me. And then you know, things happen, and – that leads me into my next.
And then it flipped.
Huh?
I said, and then it flipped.
Well, I guess that brings me into the next one is you also see, I was commenting the other day that I haven't spoken to Dave Yeager or Vlade Divac since they left. And it makes me sad because I enjoyed a relationship with them when they were here. And then things happen. And then, you know, that I don't know if it's hard feelings or what it is. And again, you don't get personally attached. I know you really try not to, again, because you're an actual journalist. But it is kind of a challenge, isn't it, Sam, through the years when you have those ebbs and flows. And sometimes they ebb, and that's great, but then they flow and or the other way around. You get what I'm saying. It's tough to maintain that because sometimes, Sam, and we've talked offline about this, and we won't get into specifics, but you've had tremendous relationships with coaches, with agents, with players themselves, and then you've got to do your job, and you've got to write something that is critical of that person. And sometimes those people will, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school here, sometimes those people will be like, hey, I thought we were cool. And it's like, no, we are cool. I'm being fair, but please don't misconstrue our relationship that because we're cool, that means it's all hearts and flowers. I got to be honest. That's a tough tightrope to walk, my man.
It is. No, and listen, we're not digging ditches and would never dramatize what we do. And the older I get, the more I joke about how, especially with my wife, the teacher, people like that who are doing real essential things. And I write about guys who bounce the ball. Right. Now, obviously, we talk about life and society within that. But yes, it does wear you out sometimes that these relationships have like this disclaimer that otherwise is not part of regular life. You know, even yesterday, to give you an example, I talked to a GM of an Eastern Conference team, and I liked the guy a lot. And when we finished our conversation, it in my mind, so I said goodbye in a casual way by saying, all right, my friend, I appreciate it. And when I got off the phone, that little voice in my head was like, oh, damn it. Like, I kind of try to make a point to not, like, just, we could be friendly, but using that word, you worry that you give people the idea that you will never say a cross word about them in coverage. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that is tricky because people do, you know, I mean, there's, and within that, it's also the, and this is the skeptical part of me that is, I guess, you know, there to a healthy degree is like, you're friendly with certain people, but there's also people that are friendly with you because they would prefer to be, you know, portrayed in a positive light. And it's probably more about that than it is, you know, anything you might have between, you know, the two of you personally. So I know there's layers to that, but it is, it's hard because I guess a quick side story that speaks to your point, Sekou Smith, you know, our friend that we lost recently to COVID, somebody told a great story about him the other day. And this, if anybody didn't know, NBA.com personality, longtime writer, great guy. And so Sekou was very friendly with Mike Woodson when he was the Atlanta Hawks head coach. And Sekou was going to do a report card on the team. And this is early in his beat years. And apparently he talked to Mike Woodson about how, like, hey, we've gotten real tight, but I got to do my job. And I just want to give you a heads up. Like, I hope this doesn't, you know, affect anything between us. And Mike, to his credit, was like, no, man, do your job. I get it. But they were really friendly. And then apparently Sekou turned around and gave him an F the next day. And Mike Mike wasn't happy, but he respected it. And, you know, in a perfect world, that's how it goes. But it doesn't always go that way.
Sam Mamick from The Athletic joining us. Not getting an F, but probably getting an A, Sam. The Sacramento Kings as of late, much to people's, I'd say, surprise. You know, we went into the season with the idea that Monty McNair had this plan to, you know, kind of get off any long-term contracts to guys that weren't in the quote-unquote age range that De'Aaron Fox was in. But with this team picking up the pace, they look like, you know, they got something good going here. If they keep this up, do you think, you know, the front office might have to shift that thinking more into, hey, maybe we need to add some, you know, additional things to this team and make a playoff push?
Great question.
I just don't know who those pieces are or who that piece might be. I mean, Kareem. James Naismith.
Yeah, that's great.
Inconceivably, yes. I think it's going to be hard because, for one, I do not anticipate a lot of teams being in selling mode, at least not right now. You have this logjam in both conferences where almost everybody remains in contention, and the play-in tournament changes that dynamic significantly, too, because, you know, there's this correlation every year around trade season between, you know, hope and motivation, if you will. Like, if you have hope, then you want to become a buyer. And the Kings have hope right now, but you need sellers. And right now, from what I'm hearing, it's like Cleveland, Oklahoma City, Detroit, you know, in the selling department, but it's not that many. And then I think about the pieces on the Kings and the ones that get talked about most frequently. And truthfully, if some of those moves happened, it would probably make them worse. You know, like, you know, and this is not based in reporting, but there's been fan and media chatter about the Celtics, who have a massive trade exception. You know, might they come after Harrison Barnes as a guy, you know, that would help them, you know, but that's not helping the Kings. So I don't know what the move looks like. You know, watching that Philadelphia game was fascinating because you could see like the best parts of this team, but also some of its vulnerabilities all within the same game. Like, Marvin Bagley did as good of a job defending Joel Embiid as he humanly can.
Yep.
But, you know, Bagley and Holmes, it's like, is there, and Whiteside's doing his Whiteside stuff, which is a lot of times good, but like the big situation is not the type that allows you to take down elite teams in some scenarios. So I don't know if they look there. I feel like they're okay on the wings for the most part. De'Aaron and Tyrese playing well together, you know, Buddy having some really good moments. So I just don't know what that move looks like.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us. Sam, I'll cross sports because I know being a Pleasanton kid, you're a Giants fan, and this is an analogy we used the other day with each other talking about Monty and the decisions he has to make was a couple years ago when the Giants out of the blue Nobody expected them to be doing anything, and right around the trade deadline, they were actually in contention, and they had to make a decision on Madison Bumgarner, and they had offers and deals for Madison that would have shored them up a little bit in the future. They decided to err on the side of the fans and on Bumgarner and the rest of the team. They kept him. They did not make the playoffs, and then, of course, Madison went to Arizona, and I feel like this is a weird second cousin to that for Monty because his fan base has been so beaten down, and I think emotionally to trade Harrison Barnes and then to a lesser extent Buddy Hield, or by the way, Rashawn Holmes, who is a free agent next year, if that's not in your plans, but especially Barnes and Holmes. If Monty were to trade one of them, I agree with you. I think emotionally it would knock fans off. It would get to the team probably. We still talk about, and I think it's overrated, but you still hear chirping about Iman Shumpert leaving the team that year to Dallas or wherever he went, Cleveland. Houston, one of the teams. So Monty has this decision, Sam, right, where does he nod towards the team and the fans and chase a play-in? Or does he do what, let's be honest, is probably the smart thing in the future, which is bite it now, get assets, and then make a real run next year? I got to think that's a hell of a decision.
Yeah, and I mean, his kind of pedigree and his background would lead me to say that he would do the latter, that he's going to think big picture.
I agree.
And that he probably should, especially because, as I've said, I mean, I'm eating a little bit of crow even on this show in terms of, like, I was the guy, like you, Dave, who went out of his way to tell the fans that there were no expectations this year, that the franchise wasn't pushing for the playoffs. They, you know, they weren't, you know, consumed with breaking that league-long streak of postseason absences. But, you know, alas, here they are. But it doesn't change anything about what you're saying. The only other question I would have, and this is, it speaks to how wins can mask, you know, every organization's issues. It's like, I still do have questions about, okay, with important decisions like that, how are they functioning as a group? Meaning the, you know, Vivek Ranadive at the top, Joe Dumars still being extremely relevant and, you know, at Vivek's side, and then, you know, Monty having his vision. So he, I guess to cut to the heart of it, is like, is Monty completely empowered to do exactly what he wants? And, you know, if so, what does that look like? So, and I'm not saying one way or the other. I just think those are fair questions that people around the league have as well. But beyond the Kings, I kind of love this time of year because it's like kind of beautifully uncomfortable, if that makes any sense, from the standpoint of, you know, like if you go to Atlanta, to give you a quick situation that I might write about soon, like John Collins is playing pretty good basketball, but the Hawks chose not to give him a max contract, right. And it kind of looks like, you know, like his time in Atlanta very possibly, you know, it might have a short runway to it, but in the moment they also have a lot of pressure to get to the playoffs, and so big picture it would maybe be smart to not lose him for nothing in restricted free agency, but if you, whatever you get back is not going to be giving you, you know, 18-8 or whatever Collins is doing right now. Like, he's very productive, you know. And so balancing the short term with the long term is really tricky for a lot of teams.
Well, and Sam, I just want to piggyback on that because I share the play to crow with you, especially on expectations for this team. But let's draw a real big line of demarcation. We don't know that that's affected Monty. I still think, and I think you probably agree with me, Monty might be sitting back going, okay, I didn't expect this either. I didn't expect Luke and everybody to coach their asses off. I didn't expect the players to gel like this. I didn't expect Tyrese Halliburton to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. I didn't expect Buddy Hield to be playing defense. Marvin, you know, all Rashawn Holmes on the push shot. He didn't expect this. But, Sam, for all you and I know, Monty's still sitting back, cold as a whatever's cold, and saying, yeah, this is great, but my job's to win championships here, and I know it's going to piss off the fans. But and he pulls off a Barnes trade. He pulls off a Buddy trade. And you have fans saying, and I hear them, but You know, I got people on the text line. No, you can't trade Barnes. You got to trade Corey Joseph. Yeah, but other GMs get paid too. We all recognize that, and no one's going to take the players that don't have value. So I agree with you, and I stand with you on the crow eating as far as neither of us thought this would be a 500 team at this point. But I'm not exactly sure, and again, I lean the other way, Sam, that I think Monty is still sitting back based on his history, and I could absolutely see him pull the trigger on something for the future.
Yeah, I mean, the Buddy thing in particular – you know, I think there's probably going to be some interest in Buddy. I always gravitate towards Philadelphia, like most people do. You know, adding shooting to their, you know, the Kings saw the other day with Seth Curry being a real X factor for their team. You know, Seth Curry, Danny Green, shooting around Embiid has unlocked the big fella in the kind of way that has him in the mix, you know, on the MVP front. So, Buddy, who knows what would come back, but, you know, Buddy's somebody who, I mean, to me, if they added Buddy to Philly, then, you know, I would say watch out Milwaukee, watch out Brooklyn.
Yep.
So whether it's them or anybody else, Monty's going to be active. You know, he didn't get this job to come up on this time of year. And no offense, but, you know, sit back in his couch listening to KHDK and how happy the fans are.
Wow.
With 500. Outcome.
Wow. No, he's a P1 listener, pal. He's number one. No, but I hear you. And then I guess last thing, because we do have to go, but just real quick. I was about 80% sure at the beginning of the year, especially during the drop in play, that this would be Luke Walton's last year. Do you think him coming back next year is still very much – what is your read on that? Or to be fair, do you have a read on Luke's future for next season?
I mean, right now, things are pretty positive. And even, honestly, before the winning streak, I had looked into it. And what struck me at the time was that the organizational kind of message was that, A, they were looking big picture like we've talked about. B, there is synergy between him and the front office, and that was going well. And then C, that he had not lost the locker room.
Right.
And that was, you know, it means a lot to me that had come before the wins,
right.
You know, and now you have Buddy out here. You know, I mean, Luke is represented by the Wasserman agency, but the other day it sounded like he was represented by the Buddy agency.
Right.
Effusive praise and given the context there, that was really notable to me. So I feel like he's in a pretty good spot. Real quickly, remind me, is his money guaranteed for next year?
Yes.
And I should know this.
It's either guaranteed or it's not a partial.
No. He has 3 years guaranteed. The fourth year was the option.
That's
year.
Right. You're correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the Kings in general, they've cut a lot of checks for nothing in recent years.
Right.
And if it's going reasonably well, I think that would put him in a pretty good spot.
Not to mention the minority owners have barked quite a little bit about a lot of those checks, too. We'll get into that next time, along with Sam's and my conversation. I promise you we will have. We'll revisit the tenure of Vlade Divac, and I'm sure that will be a fun and totally not controversial conversation we will have. In the meantime, you can go to theathletic.com. You can read Sam and all the wonderful things he puts out there, just like we had Jason Jones earlier this week, Matt Barrows, who we have on all the time. So many of our friends and local cats help make up The Athletic to me the best sports journalism you can offer. And a great gift, like I did for my son for Christmas, a great gift for the son, daughter, father, mother, brother, sister, or just friend in your life. Sam, you're the best. Please give your hero of a wife a kiss and a hug from myself and Melissa, and thank her for all she does for the kiddos. Say hello to the two little still redheads.
Still redheads.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Still redheads.
Mine's growing out of it. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. All right. Appreciate you.